Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakraborty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. In the summer of 2004, Boston hosted the Democratic National Convention. In the TD Bank Center, there were big speeches, big promises of change, and big expressions of support for the troops in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Across town, there was a gathering of a very different sort, even if it, too, was focused on the war. Five Marines, two soldiers, and one airman became the country's most unlikely anti-war activists. They had volunteered to serve, but after they were sent to fight in Iraq, they returned home feeling angry and betrayed. So on that summer day, they mounted the stage at historic Faneuil Hall and announced the launch of the group Iraq Veterans Against the War.
Nan Levinson, who teaches fiction writing and journalism at Tufts University, tells the story of this new anti-war movement in her new book. It's called War Is Not a Game: The New Anti-War Soldiers and the Movement They Built. Levinson begins her story 3 years later, in 2007, when a large group of veterans staged a protest at a job fair in St. Louis.
They moved on down the street, and there were probably 90 of them wearing Iraq Veterans Against the War black T-shirts with that sentinel across the front. And they walked on in and fell into formation. Somebody at the front said, "Iraq Veterans Against the War, what have you learned?" And the response was, "War is not a game." And this was all in front of an army booth where, in fact, war was being portrayed as a game.
Now, you mean that literally. They had actually designed a video game that truly resembles what war is really like, or something like that.
There was a company that designed it, and then the army used it.
Right.
And this was a job fair where young, mostly men, were showing up, high school kids, whatever, and there was a fancy booth, and there was a big Humvee, I believe, or a tank or whatever, and recruiters and a lot of information, but also this game where people could play a simulation of war. And the veterans who had been to war and knew that it was not a game felt that they had to respond to it.
Right.
And it was just this, it was a small but really exciting protest.
What happened? There they were. They confronted the recruiters. What did you observe?
It was clear that the people in the booth knew what had happened and didn't like it. And probably everyone standing around was well aware of what had happened. And it probably made an impression in that way. But I think as much as anything, it was really important for the veterans because it was perhaps their first action that they had planned all on their own, really very quickly, without any sort of backup or guidance from older vets or other activists, civilian activists. They had done it themselves, and they were really excited. And it was kind of the start of a very active time for them.
What struck you about this group? I mean, what excited you about it? What inspired you about the way this group came together and their cause?
They were full of beans. They were full of energy. They were smart. They were dedicated. They were trying to do things in a new way. And I think what attracted me most is it felt new, and it felt like it was really going to make a difference.
Well, we're also joined by a member of Iraq Veterans Against the War, Liam Madden. Liam, welcome to Radio Boston. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
I'd love to ask you, when did you serve? Where did you serve?
I served in Iraq in 2004 and 2005 in one tour with the United States Marine Corps.
Why did you want to enlist?
I wanted to grow up, and I knew that if I went to college right out of high school, I wouldn't have gotten the most out of it. And the military seemed like a place where I could get a lot of discipline and learn a lot about myself and about leadership and about, I suppose, there was an element of adventure. And there was no war that I really disagreed with at the time that I enlisted. So I thought it was going to be a constructive place to grow up.
Right. And so compare that with what you experienced. What did you see? What did you experience in Iraq that would motivate you to join Iraq Veterans Against the War?
What I did see in Iraq was a lot of, my friend describes it as a frat house with machine guns. So a lot of young, testosterone-filled boys being put in a position of life and death responsibility and not always handling it that well. I saw a lot of very angry, despairing civilians that I just had an incredible amount of sympathy for. And I saw a lot of callousness and disrespect. I saw racism, and I saw a government that lied and had no substantiation for the claims they made to get us to go to war in the first place. And
you're talking about the search for weapons of mass destruction that never turned up any weapons of mass destruction.
That and the yellow cake uranium, which was a fabrication, mm-hmm. and the links to 9/11.
when you're talking about a frat house with machine guns. It's like, did you get that sense that people were going off to war as though it was a game?
No. And when I say frat house with machine guns, I would also like to point out that there are incredibly mature and level-headed
sure.
people in the military. But, you know, when I think it was pretty sobering for a lot of people.
Hmm.
It, I think, devolves into a new normal and a new normal of dehumanization for the civilians around us slowly over the course of several months and over learning from the examples of people who have been there a little bit longer. I don't think anybody went in thinking it was a game, although there are certainly people who go to the military because they are very, very excited about the opportunity to, you know, play with real guns,
sure.
with real people.
Nan, let me ask you about the kind of activism that the Iraq Veterans Against the War was doing. One example, counter-recruiting. So what was that?
That actually, sometimes I like to call it truth in recruiting. To pick up on what Liam said, people join for any number of reasons. But everyone I talked to, somewhere in there was a desire to do good in the world. And I think part of the underlying thing with people who were motivated to become activists and join together and work together was a sense of betrayal of whatever idealism they had. So part of what the truth in recruiting was to say, look, this is what's going on. They talked about things that no one else was talking about.
Such as?
What it was really like, what was happening there, how successful or unsuccessful the mission was. The sense that it was, somebody said it's like Groundhog Day. You know, you go out on some mission, you try to survive that day, to come back to survive another day, to come home, and then get deployed again. They did have the force of having been there behind them. They had the sense of having come to terms with what had happened and trying to come to terms with what they had done, which gave them a certain moral standing. And they kept at it.
Hmm.
And what seems really important to me, you know, they didn't end the war. The wars went on for a very long time, and there's still, it feels like a sense of perpetual war still going on. So a lot of what's in this book is incredibly relevant today, unfortunately.
Sure.
But it takes a long time to change minds and ideas and hearts. And I think what's really significant about IVAW, it's 10 years old. It kept at it. And maybe that's why they're most important.
And Liam, I want to ask you about that because you actually helped launch this appeal for redress to Congress. Tell us about this repeal for redress.
When I was on active duty, it was my last year in service in 2006, I felt, as Nan said, very betrayed about the war in Iraq, and I felt an obligation to do something about it that would help raise awareness, would help lend legitimacy and credibility to all the voices that were starting to feel oppressed by the narrative at the time of support the troops, that if any criticism of the war came out of your mouth, you were this traitor that wasn't supporting the troops and you should just fall in line if you had anything ill to say about the war in Iraq. And so I thought it was really important to have people within the military be able to give some sort of support to the people outside of the military that wanted to critique the war. And I eventually met enough people that really inspired me to create the appeal for redress, which was essentially getting people in the military to write their congressman and to publicly submit their appeal to their congressman, which is actually the only legal way you have of protesting anything in the military. You can't protest on base or in uniform. You can't sign petitions, but you can legally send a petition to your congressman. So we kind of aggregated all those things together to try and make a collective impact.
I see. What were you trying to redress? What was the appeal?
The appeal was to end the war in Iraq, and our grievance was that it was based on fabricated evidence and that it was hurting our country and that it was hurting our military and our ability to be a force for good in the world.
And how did it make you feel? Did it make you feel hopeful that change could come from this kind of action, or how did it make you feel?
I was extremely inspired when I started meeting other veterans. I felt like we had a lot of energy and experience getting things done and working together and executing campaigns. We really inspired each other and felt like we were this, you know, the Knights of the Round Table in terms of like doing the righteous thing.
Well, let me ask you, I mean, 10 years on, is there any part of you that is frustrated, I guess, by the challenge of making change, of the slow pace of change?
My favorite quote, the signature to my emails, is by Buckminster Fuller. And it's, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete.
So what does that mean, though, in this case?
It means to me that I've changed my view on how to be an activist. And it's not yelling out that this is wrong and expecting someone to listen to me. It's about providing new alternatives, mm-hmm. new models, and working to create something instead of fighting against something.
I want to ask you both finally about one of the reasons why there is, arguably, why it's so difficult to make changes, because so few people are really directly connected to veterans, mm-hmm. to veterans' families. That's a big change from World War II, even from the Vietnam generation. How serious is that, and what has to happen about that?
You know, what is it? 1% of the population actually is in the military, and then you add in families and people who work on bases or nearby, maybe 2%. It's very easy to ignore that. It's very easy to have think of the military as other. In this country, we seem to allow veterans and soldiers to be one of two things. They can be heroes or they can be victims. Mm-hmm. And for heroes, we shake their hands and we thank them for their service and then we forget about them. And for victims, we wring our hands and we feel guilty or sorry and we also forget about them, except on Veterans Day. And it's wonderful we're having this conversation when it's not Veterans Day. But one thing that I think was really important about IVAW is some of the people were heroes or victims, but there was something else. They became activists and they supported each other and they worked together. So it wasn't just a single activist, but it was people having discussions late into the night, teaching each other, supporting each other, coming to terms with what they had done, what they could do. And I do think that is a good model for how change can come about over a long period of time.
Yeah, my experience in Iraq Veterans Against the War is absolutely pivotal to bring me to a place where I think it's a much more constructive way to undertake long-term change.
Hmm. Liam Madden is a veteran of the Iraq War and a member of Iraq Veterans Against the War. Liam, thanks so much for coming in.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And Nan Levinson teaches journalism and fiction writing at Tufts University. Her new book is called War Is Not a Game, The New Anti-War Soldiers and the Movement They Built. Nan, thank you as well.
Thank you.
And Nan Levinson will be discussing her book tomorrow evening at the main branch of the Somerville Library. You can find more information at radioboston.org.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.